Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. I'm not seeing any visitors, so you know who I am. You don't have to introduce myself. And you all know that we do something different every Sunday morning. Sometimes I lead the service and sometimes someone from outside our congregation leads the service, which is the case today. And I'm not going to give you Layla's biographical information until a little later on in the program. Prairie, of course, strives to be open-hearted and open-minded, and you are welcome here no matter where you are on this spiritual journey.
I spent over 10 years in the Central Intelligence Agency serving overseas, serving in the Middle East. And let me tell you, if you're a terrorist and you want to come to the United States, the worst possible way to do it is as a refugee. You'd go through a year and a half of, or 2 years of vetting.
Those were the opening words spoken by Anonymous. My announcements are social action related. As you know, as some of you know, I have been to General Assembly and just got back. And I'm got lots of energy now. So watch out for social action things especially. This coming Thursday, which is July 6th, there will be the Dane Sanctuary Coalition, and I think this fits in with this morning's program, Layla, so I wanted to make sure to bring it to your attention. There will be a press conference held by the Dane Sanctuary Coalition at 11 a.m. at that big I believe it's Madison Christian Community Church on Old Sauk Road. I'll try to remember to put something in Prairie News earlier in the week. We are not, at this moment, a sanctuary congregation. However, we are part of the, at the moment we're calling ourselves the Dane County UUs for Social Action. We're going to change that name for a lot of reasons. One is we want to invite Sauk City into this. We are part of that. Prairie supports sanctuary. I never got any board approval for this, but I don't care. Prairie supports sanctuary. The point, one of the points of this press conference, and Layla, if you want to expand on this later, that's fine, is to have as many people possible there who support sanctuary. You don't have to be connected with a church. So go. Go to the Madison Christian Community Church on Old Sauk Road. Be there by no later than 10:45 Thursday morning. And then we're all going to stand behind the microphone and so that it will look like, because it's true, that we are, many people support sanctuary. I believe Tom and Cheryl Robinson are up next.
The words of this month's Global Chalice Lighting are the text of the theme song of the first gathering of Unitarians and Universalists all over Europe. European Unitarians together, Globe Ohne Grenzen, Faith Without Borders, written by Martha Hicks, Frank Kubitschek, Andrea Offner, Roland Weber.
Let's stand together, meeting eye to eye. Different creeds and cultures praise diversity. What we have in common, we shall keep in mind.
Thank you. Now I get to tell you a little bit about this morning's speaker. Layla, was raised here in Madison and returned recently after 17 years away, 12 of which she spent living in Palestine. She has extensive experience working in fair trade in Palestine and is currently a World Fair Trade Organization certified fair trade auditor. She has other professional experience working in various fields of international development, including agriculture, women, children, and media. Layla was one of the founding members of the Palestine Fair Trade Association. She also founded the Bethlehem Children's Museum. I love that part. the first ever children's museum in Palestine. She previously worked for SOS Children's Villages, Palestine and Dalia Association, the first ever community foundation in Palestine. She holds a BA in Women and Gender Studies from the University of California, Davis, and a Master's in Development Studies from the School of Oriental and African Studies, the University of London. Traveled a bit. Layla serves on the Board of Directors for Working Capital for Community Needs, which is an impact investment fund whose mission is to create opportunities for access to microfinance services and markets to improve the lives and communities of the working poor in Latin America. She is also part of the leadership team for Open Doors for Refugees, which is Madison-based, a collective of volunteers who want to create an open and welcoming community for refugees being resettled here in our community. In addition, Layla serves on the leadership team for the Madison Rafa Sister City Project, a group that seeks to promote awareness about Palestine generally, and more specifically about the dire humanitarian situation in Rafah, saying it correctly, located in the Gaza Strip. Layla, this won't surprise anybody, I don't think, is fluent in Arabic, loves to read and spend time with her children, and I'm with you on favorite winter activity, sitting by the fireplace. Her favorite summer activity is biking everywhere and going to the pool. She is passionate about racial and social justice and believes firmly in walking the walk, not just talking the talk. She is the mother of Nishan, 7, and Zaina, 5, and wife of Mohammed Ghanayam, a journalist and a documentary filmmaker. Layla recently worked as a loan executive with United Way of Dane County. This proved to be a great opportunity to reconnect with Madison and learn more intimately about the toughest challenges facing our community and what are we doing about them. Layla is excited about the opportunities for personal and professional growth that this new Leaders Council has to offer. So, I welcome you. We're very happy to have you.
Okay. So I'm going to pass around a couple things that you guys can look at while I'm talking. First of all, I want to say hi and thank you for having me. We're always happy to share the work we're doing with Open Doors. So these two folders, which I'll give on the two sides, just kind of talk about who we are. They give you some flyers of some events that we've done and talk about different ways that people can donate. So a lot of churches that we've worked with as congregations gotten together and made some of the boxes that we create to welcome the refugee families. So we have like kitchen boxes and bathroom boxes and living room boxes, and these are things that we need to get new. There are certain regulations that we have to have some things new and some things we can have used. And it's a really easy way for churches or other groups. We've had Girl Scout troops also do similar things like that. So just help. You can page through the binder and kind of get an idea of who we are and what we do. My little sheet so I don't forget anything. I also have brochures, so we can pass those around too, and you can feel welcome to keep those if you want. And when I'm done, I will pass around a sign-up sheet if anybody wants to get on our email list. Maybe some of you already are, I don't know. And if you want to get involved and volunteer, we have a volunteer form we can email to you and you can fill out, and it talks about sort of what's your availability and what skills do you have that might be useful. So Open Doors for Refugees, which I'm usually just going to call Open Doors, is a volunteer-based organization. We have around 800 people on our email list, but I would say that we probably have around 200 people who are pretty regularly active with us. We have a monthly meeting the third Wednesday of every month, and this rotates. We very often use churches and kind of, you know, we've had some at the mosques. Some at synagogues and also churches, and then we often try to also help host them in non-religiously affiliated places as well, so that people don't always feel like we're connected to a specific religion. So this would be a great space. We'd be happy to use this one Wednesday. We try to find places that we can use for free. We do have as Open Doors a little bit of money that we've been pretty successful in. Madison's a very generous community, but of course we try and save that money to go towards things for the refugees rather than paying for space for a meeting. So the meeting rotates just to make it easy for people in different parts of town to also join us. So Open Doors works with directly with Jewish Social Services and Lutheran Social Services. And JSS and LSS are the two federally certified resettlement agencies in Madison. So they are the ones that actually get the refugees. It's their job to sort of, they have a very specific program that they have to fill within the first 90 days. Unfortunately, the Federal Refugee Resettlement Program in the United States only offers 90 days of support. So it's kind of the expectation that these families will arrive, learn the language, learn the culture, get a job, become financially dependent in 90 days. So we all know how realistic that is. So Open Doors, you know, we really try to help the refugee families in that 90 days, but also beyond that 90 days. So we are very involved with both agencies. We're a little bit more intimately involved with Jewish Social Services than we are with Lutheran Social Services, but we're hoping to change that, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. But also beyond the 90 days, continuing to offer support to these families. And again, these agencies don't, you know, cut off ties with them after 90 days, but the funding that they have in order to support these families pretty much ends after 90 days. They do have social workers that, you know, maintain contact with them and try and help them out if need be by connecting them to existing resources in the community. So those are two agencies that we work with. Again, Open Doors is not a resettlement agency. We really just try and complement or supplement the services that they're getting from the resettlement agencies. We are all volunteer-based. We have a leadership council, which I'm a part of, and then we have several committees, and each committee has like a kind of team leader. So we have events committees, which you can see in there some of our events. We've had for 2 years in a row now this community picnic that we do at Olin Park. Has anybody been to that? Anybody here? No? Heard of it? That's good. This year it was a little bit colder than we would have liked, but it was still a really fun event. And it's just a nice way where we get to have the refugee families come and enjoy food. Everybody brings a dish to pass if they can. And then we invite the wider community, and it's just a chance for them to meet people outside of their community, see that Madison is welcoming to them. I mean, one of the refugee fathers after the picnic this year was like, that was the most fun we've had since we got here. So we usually have activities for the kids, like face painting and balloons and stuff like that. It's a really fun event. And our events are meant to sort of raise awareness and advocacy, and sometimes our events are fundraising events as well. So we're gonna have a benefit concert in the end of July 23rd. Was Peter Mulvey's coming to play? I don't know who he is, I have to admit. I'm not a big music buff. But every time people who know anything about music know him, they'll say, oh, he's really good. So I think he's really good. And he's actually playing for us for completely for free. So all of the money is going straight to Open Doors for Refugees and the programs that we do. It's going to be at Threshold, which is on Atwood. And I'll leave some of these flyers here for people. And, you know, if you, you know people who might want to go, you can definitely take a couple of these small flyers and give them to people. If you go to a coffee shop a lot where you can, you know, put one up or something, we appreciate that as well. We also have our other committees. So we have the events committee, we have the housing committee. The housing committee in the beginning was not really, was a little bit frustrated and wasn't finding enough work to do. But now that the refugees are here and settled, there's a lot more to do with them. So a lot of them want to move to different houses. One of them just had a baby, for example. They're two adults and two kids now in a one-bedroom apartment. So they need help finding a subleaser. So there's lots of logistical things that, you know, we really understand how to maneuver these systems that they have never dealt with before, and that's really where Open Doors comes in. Like, we have the time and the manpower and the volunteers who are willing to say, okay, I'll help you find a subleaser, let's put that up on Craigslist, let's check that email every day, let's find. So those are the kinds of things that's really like, if you're coming from outside and you've never even rented an apartment before, like the idea of finding a subleaser can be very difficult. So a lot of times at Open Doors, we're helping with really basic things, but they're super important things and they really can make a difference in their lives. We also have an employment team. So our goal is to kind of help them find, if they don't have a job, help them find a job or help them find a better job. So a lot of them are working in hotels or in restaurants where they're making $8 an hour because they don't have a lot of English at first. And we are really trying to get them in jobs where they're making $12 an hour and more. So that's a lot of what we do too. And then we have the donations and move-in team. So Open Doors works, this is where we work most closely with the agencies. We have, because we have such a large list of volunteers on the, or people who are on the email list, and we put out these kind of, okay, we don't have any beds, we need beds, or we need dressers for a family that's arriving. And we've had, we've been we've had some storage unit donated as well, some storage space. So we've been really successful at kind of mobilizing the community, getting those donations. It's like a logistical nightmare. I actually have nothing to do with it, and I'm very happy. So arranging all those pickups and then getting everything in storage and kind of logging all of what we have. So at any given time, we try to have enough to furnish, two to four apartments. Right now, our storage is full. We're fully stocked. Everything's good. We just did a couple pickups the last couple of weeks. We do always need those boxes, which you'll see some information in there, and I can talk more about that later. So there's different teams you can get involved in from Open Doors. I don't actually know everybody who volunteers with Open Doors. Sometimes I'll meet somebody and we'll be talking and I'll say, oh, you do that? I know that. I know that person by email, but I don't know who they are in person. So it's a pretty loose group of volunteers. We really try and work with people the way that works best for their lifestyle. So the woman who was doing all the emails she just has that kind of brain where she would take all the emails about where we do the pickups and she'd schedule it. And I only knew her by email, and it was just funny when we met in person. I was like, oh, that's you. So it's a really nice group of people. It's an amazing group of people, and there's lots of different ways that you can get involved. It doesn't have to be a huge commitment, and if you want it to be a huge commitment, it can be a huge commitment. So we're very flexible. A couple things that we're starting now, which we're really excited about. One is called the Cultural Companions Program. So the idea is we want to pair three local families, and family here is determined or defined very loosely. You could be a single person, you could be roommates, you could be whatever you want to be. But to basically three different points of contact per refugee family. So a refugee family would have these three people, and they'd kind of be, the people that they would go to say, I'll give you an example. Recently, a woman, her washing machine was broken, and she had asked the landlord two or three times to fix it, and nothing was happening, and she was washing clothes by hand, and it was in the middle of Ramadan, and they're all tired and fasting. And so I said, give me your landlord's number, I'll call him. So I called him, and as soon as I called him, he went over and fixed it. So those can be the kinds of things that you could be doing if you join the Cultural Companions Program. So we're hoping that there's an aspect of social support where you might connect them to resources in the community. So similarly, this family, the husband was unemployed for a month, and they had trouble making rent. So although this is very hard for some of us sometimes, what I did was show them the food pantries in their area and let them save their money for rent and take them to the food pantries. So we don't want to create a relationship of dependence where they're looking to us to financially support them. We really want them to realize that there are resources in this community that they can access and they can use, and they might just need help finding them and figuring out how to use them. So again, the Cultural Companions Program is more about building bridges with the community and showing them the resources that we have, because Madison is actually a very resourceful community. There's lots of resources out there for people who need help. And then we also hope that there'll be kind of a friendship aspect of it as well, where maybe you might take them to the farmer's market with you one weekend, or to the zoo, or I don't know, the Arboretum, or if you go out of town somewhere special, you might have them join you one day or something. So we're hoping that there's two prongs to this program, where you kind of build a friendship with them, but you also, you're also somebody they can call and say, hey, my washing machine's broken, can you help me? So that's the Cultural Companions Program. We are working on sort of still defining the details of it, and then we're hoping to start it in September. So end of July, August, we'll hope to do some trainings with families who want to be involved in that program, just some cultural relevancy stuff, going over these things about how to not create that relationship of dependence. And then hopefully we'll roll it out in September. So if anybody is interested in being involved in something like that, you can email culturalcompanionsodfr@gmail.com, or you can always email the general email, which is opendoorsforrefugees@gmail.com, and they can shift you to the right place. We've also had a bit of a more distance relationship with Lutheran Social Services, and we're hoping to change that. And so one of the ways that we are piloting a new program with them is going to be, so they often work with congregations to support refugee families. So they're going to work with Open Doors to create our own kind of congregation of 10 to 15 people that can be the point of contact for Lutheran Social Services for a specific family. So Lutheran Social Services is amazing. They've been doing this work of resettling refugees for a long time in Madison and Milwaukee, but they're really understaffed. So I think when we first introduced ourselves to Lutheran Social Services, we were a bit overwhelming for them because we were so many people, and it felt like they felt like you guys are going to be more trouble than you're worth, you know. So we have had like some discussions with them, and we've kind of come up with the idea that we're going to create a small team that would then be the point of contact between Lutheran Social Services and Open Doors. So if you want to join that team, you're also joined to that. Welcome to join that team. We're working on getting those people now too. And Lutheran Social Services works in a very specific kind of regimented way. So they want that team of people to visit a specific family a certain number of times a month, not more, not less. So they're more rigid in the way they work. And they believe that they've created a formula that's worked for them over the years. And so they really want people who are willing to work with their formula. And a lot of us at Open Doors are really coming from a position of like just love and open heart. And so the idea that things would be so regimented is often hard for our volunteers. So yeah, you know, if that's the kind of person you are, then the LSS team is the way to go. And if that's not the kind of person you are, then you should join the Cultural Companions program. So we have something for everybody. Another program that we've had that has been really successful is the gift card program. I don't have any flyers for that today, unfortunately, but basically what it is we've been encouraging congregations, Girl Scout troops have done this, go out and get gift cards in $25 increments, and then those are things that we can give directly to the families to support them buying. So we have things like Target, a lot of them shop at Woodman's, so Woodman's is a good one too. We do ask that people don't go to Walmart, just because Walmart doesn't pay living wage. But Kohl's department store, any of the grocery stores in town, some people have given us St. Vinny's, some people have given us Willie Street. And these really are, once we collect a critical mass, then we kind of divvy them up to the families that we work with. So right now, I think at the picnic recently, which was about a month ago, we gave them all out. What we had left, we gave out. So we're kind of back to zero again. So we'd love to sort of get that up again. And it's great for congregations too, because people can bring it in, you can all bring them into church here and I can come pick them up one day. And it's really nice because it's a direct donation to a refugee family, and it also allows them to choose what they want to buy. So it's a really great way. I mean, I've had some graduation, people who've gotten gift cards for graduation gifts, given them to us too. So it's really nice, you know, to see that. I work with about 22 Arabic-speaking families. So we have about 22 Arabic-speaking families in town that I work with, most of them Syrian and Iraqi. We have one Iranian family in town. We have a couple Congolese, a couple Bhutanese. So we have mainly the core focus right now is on the refugees from the Middle East. We have several from Afghanistan as well. You know, we'll work with any refugees here. We're not specifically focused on Syrian refugees, or you don't have anybody who's here through the Federal Refugee Resettlement Program. We're happy to help. We are toying with the idea of opening some sort of catering business for the women of the family. You know, a lot of them are these really amazing cooks. And so, you know, thinking about how can we use those skills and also maybe allow them to still stay at home with their kids. So if anybody has any catering experience or running a restaurant, we'd be happy to have you join our team to sort of talk about how we can do that program. And I think that's one of the really amazing things about Open Doors is that we look at who our volunteers are and where we have skills, and we really try and use those to help the refugees in whatever way we can. So I think that's a pretty powerful and amazing thing that Open Doors has been able to do. We also have, like I said, this event coming on July 23rd. This is, you know, the money's again gonna be for the refugees. And we're also gonna have refugee women cooking here and selling their food. So you can taste some of their delicious food while you're there as well. So I guess that's kind of my spiel. We do a lot. Like I said, we're a very fluid organization. We're very flexible. There are lots of ways, like we've had I have a Girl Scout troop in July who is going to take a bunch of refugee kids to the zoo for the day, and then they're going to have a picnic at the park next door. So it doesn't always have to be, you know, joining a committee. It doesn't always have to be giving money. It can be, you know, you could have a party here. You guys actually live really close to some of the refugees. A lot of them live in Allied Drive over there. I'm also trying to work with Mo Cheeks. Do you guys know him? He's the alder. Because there is like this piece of community land which is kind of close to here too, so you guys could mention it to him too maybe, because I think you're probably in his area too. And I want to get a playground and like a structure there, because there's just nothing over in the LA Drive neighborhood for communities. I mean, there's no grocery store, there's no playground. So, and it's just this empty strip of land that belongs to the government, or belongs to the city, I'm sure. So I'm trying to advocate for that. So there's lots of like different things that are going on under the umbrella of Open Doors. And if you have an idea and you want to run with it, we're always very open to that as well. One of the other things that I'm trying to arrange is for to find sponsors to pay the families' travel loans. So a lot of people don't know this, but the refugee families arrive in America indebted to the US government for the cost of their travel. I know it's shocking and it's disgusting and it's ridiculous. It's it is an interest-free loan, and they have 6 months from when they arrive to when they can start paying it back. So the first 6 months they don't have to pay anything back, and there is no interest. So it is really truly just paying back the cost of their travel. But I just find it very difficult idea that they arrive in the States already in debt. And you know, a lot of them have been living in refugee camps for the last year or two before they get here, where we get very few families who come straight from Syria, because you have to go through such difficult vetting in order to get in here. And so if you've been in Syria, they probably don't have enough information on you to be able to vet you. So most of them we get from refugee camps, either in Jordan, Lebanon, Turkey, Greece. And they're not allowed to work in the refugee camps. They don't have a legal status with which they can work. So a lot of them arrive here in debt to relatives back in the Middle East as well. So it's just like adding on to that debt. It's just really, really hard for me at least. So I'm trying to find families who are willing to sponsor, or maybe congregations who are willing to sponsor, helping them pay back these travel loans. The resettlement agencies have asked that if we do find sponsors, we still allow them to pay it off on a monthly basis. Because that helps them build credit in America without getting a credit card, which is a great thing, because it's very hard to have no credit. When I moved here with my husband, you know, we couldn't even get a lease on a car, because I'd been gone for 12 years and he wasn't an American citizen, and it was like a 35-year-old woman had to get my mom to co-sign a lease with me. I was like, this is so embarrassing. So, you know, I know personally how hard it is to have no credit, and so we do want to support them building credit by not having a credit card, and this is one way that they can do that. So I have found a couple families who are willing to sponsor families, and you know, a family of four, it's probably going to be about $93 a month. So it's nothing ridiculous. However long it takes to pay off. So that specific, it depends on how much their tickets were, right? So this specific family that I'm thinking of in my head, they are four people. It was like $3,300 for the tickets. So it's about $1,100 per ticket, so it just depends. I mean, yeah. So again, lots of things going on at Open Doors. I sometimes try not to overwhelm people, because we're always doing so many things. But again, we're very open and willing to work with people on whatever, you know, they're interested in. So if a Girl Scout troop approaches us and we want to do something fun with the kids, we will help facilitate that. I will say that there is a lot of, it sometimes can be hard, because there's a lot of issues. The only way that we ever have sort of disputes with the resettlement agencies that we work with is that they're very concerned about vetting and background checks for people who work with their refugees, and rightly so. And we're concerned about that too. I mean, we work with an organization called Verified Volunteers, and we you know, background check and do driving checks, especially if people are going to be driving them. So that sometimes can be an issue. So if you're not, you know, we ask if people want to work face-to-face, one-on-one with refugees, you're going to need to get a background check. We ask that people usually pay for it themselves. If they can't pay for it themselves, but they really want to be involved, then Open Doors is willing to cover that as well. It's usually about $20 to $50, so it's not a ridiculous amount of money. And the nice thing about Verified Volunteers is they have like a membership of organizations who use them. So if you volunteer for United Way as like a tutor, for example, and you're already checked by them, we can then use that, and then you don't have to pay for it twice. And vice versa, if we check you and then you end up going to volunteer with another organization, if they're members of Verified Volunteers, they can use that background check too. So it saves resources and money for the organizations and for the people involved. So I'm going to stop there, because it's really possible to keep talking and talking about all that we're doing. But I would love to answer questions. At one point, it was a total stop on refugees, on any refugees, specifically from Syria. So, and JSS, Jewish Social Services, has specifically asked to get refugees from the Middle East. So, you know, they didn't have any for a while. then they were coming back in again. So there was a point when they were coming back in again. I mean, I would say every couple of weeks between LSS, actually, I would say every other week between LSS and JSS, we get a new family. But again, this most recent decision by the Supreme Court may stop that again, you know, until it gets decided, and that's not until October. So I'm not sure between now, I still haven't really spoken to the resettlement agencies about what this most recent decision will mean for what they had planned. So their fiscal year ends in October, and then Jewish Social Services and Lutheran, Jewish Social Services was supposed to get 50 refugees between October to October, so which would end this October. And then Lutheran was supposed to get 150 because they've been doing it much longer and have a much bigger capacity, even though they're very understaffed. And they also, that includes Milwaukee for them too. JSS is just Madison. So both of those numbers got cut in half at one point. And then there was like a say, then there was a point when they said, no, we're actually going to get them all again. So it's very confusing, and it's very hard to give you a straight answer. We have not gotten all of the ones that we were supposed to get, and I don't think now that with the most recent decision we will, because October is when the Supreme Court's going to review the case, and that's when the new fiscal year will start. So that in theory, they should be getting another 50, and I don't, if we haven't gotten our other ones, yeah. So no simple answer for that, unfortunately. I mean, we have hundreds of refugees in Madison, right? Like, we had a huge Hmong community here that were all refugees, but they've been here since, like, the 70s. So, they're, I mean, are they still refugees? Yes, they are, but they're also a much more part, a fabric of the community now. So, it depends on how you're counting who's a refugee. I mean, within the last... we work with families who have arrived as late as 4 years ago. I think that's the longest distance back that we work with our families. Not because of any rule, but just because of the families that we've become in contact with. So when they were blocking, Syrian and Middle Eastern refugees after the initial ban, in that time, JSS welcomed a Congolese family and a Bhutanese family, I think. So yes, they will. But their capacity in terms of language is, I mean, they've hired an Arabic-speaking caseworker. So their capacity in terms of language is a little bit. Thankfully, the woman in charge of the whole Refugee Settlement Project, JSS, speaks French very well. And so she could speak with the Congolese families that came. I mean, there is cheap housing here. It's just not very nice apartments and not very nice neighborhoods. So, but to be honest, I don't really think our refugee families care. I mean, I don't even know that they're aware that, like, Ally Drive is the worst neighborhood in Madison. Like, I don't think it's on their radar screen. They're trying to survive each month and get by. They're fine, you know? I mean, I think after they're here for a while, so there's an Iraqi family who he got into the subsidized housing, and he said, tell me congratulations. And I said, why? Congratulations. And he said, we got into subsidized housing, we're moving to the west side. You know, and he lives kind of near also the LA Drive area. So, I mean, I think after a while they realize they can have a nicer life if they live in a different area. But in the beginning, I think it's not that big of a deal. And, you know, I'm of the mindset of, like, pulling more resources into those community rather than trying to take them out. I think, you know, it is hard because it is hard to find cheap housing. And I think one of the things that our housing committee is going to start doing is start helping families get on these lists for affordable housing, which is a really hard thing to do. I mean, you have to get on the list, and then you have to check your email, like, obsessively. You have to go visit the office, like, obsessively. I mean, it's not easy to get into these housings. But once they do, then they're in. So that's another thing that our housing committee is going to start working with the families on. The federal resettlement agencies have to get them an ESL, and they have to be doing a certain number of ESL, like, right from the start. So we're using things like Literacy Network, some free classes at MATC for ESL. So they're definitely plugged into ESL resources. The question is, like, how much they're benefiting from it. So a lot of the refugee women were taking classes at Centro Hispano, and, you know, a lot of them were coming with really, I mean, just zero English. And so to enter into a class with a bunch of Spanish-speaking people who might have a significant amount of English or even just a little bit of English, but then the second language that they're hearing in the classroom is Spanish, I mean, it's just not, they were not benefiting. I mean, one woman was going all the way on the bus from, like, Raymond Road area to Centro Hispano because they said she had to go to ESL classes to get her, you know, whatever, for her W-2s to take these classes. And it was just like an hour and a half on the bus. She said, I am learning nothing, and then an hour and a half back on the bus. So we're, as Open Doors, are working to try and find better resources for them where they are learning more. And one of the, so we had a meeting in kind of a potluck working lunch with 12 families in March. And just to see from them, like, are we doing a good job? What can we do better? When you first arrived, most of the families had been, like, within the last year. when you first arrived, what was really good, what was really bad, just trying to get feedback from them in terms of what we were doing. And we did that at Meadowood, at the community center there. And I mean, every single family was like, English, English, English. So we did two things as a result. One is, after Ramadan, which is now over, they're going to be having a class that Literacy Network is running at Meadowood for Arabic speakers. So we work with Literacy Network to do that. And then the other thing we started doing is we are offering in-home ESL support to the families. So we have an ESL team. So if any of you are ESL teachers, we have an ESL team. We go into their homes. But we're very clear with them that we want this to be a supplement to a class that they're taking. But for a lot of the women, it's just, I mean, it's harder for them to get out of the house with the, if they have young children. You know, one woman said, my kids will not, like at Central Hispana, for example, they have daycare. She's like, my son will not sit in the daycare. And eventually they had to ask her to not come anymore because the child insisted on being in the class and it was disruptive to other people. So, you know, these solutions are good, but they're not, they don't always work for everybody. And a lot of these kids have been through trauma. So yeah, he doesn't want to sit in a room with somebody he doesn't understand and doesn't know. So we really are trying to listen to what the families are telling us and offer solutions that work for them. So we do have a couple women who only do ESL in the home, and we do encourage them to try and find a class that fits them, but if they don't, they don't. The mosque out by Woodman's is also offering, starting next week, a women's only ESL class as well. So a lot of our women are going to that too, and they're also offering childcare. But they're, again, their childcare is 4 and above, so if you have a younger child, you know. So we try to make it work for them. And yeah, ESL is a big concern because that was like resoundingly the biggest response from families. It was like, if we had English, we would be fine. You know, we don't need a handout. We just need to understand what's going on around us. But basically, if you guys are interested in sort of putting together these boxes, again, this is all through the Federal Refugee Resettlement Program. They actually put down these boxes, like what needs to be in them, what in the things that need to be new and the things that can be used. So it's just, I've found that it's something that churches like because, you know, you can do it together as a church, you can all go get a couple items and make a couple boxes and then you give them to us. So it's just, it fits really well usually with congregations. And there's the kitchen boxes, the bathroom boxes, and then like the bedroom and living room boxes. And it's a sheet, it's like 4 different corners and there's lists of each one. I think it's in the binder, but if it's, yeah, but if it's not, I can always email it to you.
Thank you.
When a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt.
Go in peace. Treat your neighbor. Think about doing some. Happy Fourth.
Yes.